have to do when someone comes to them and they're in that position, they are there. They've got to at least leave their first session together feeling that there's hope in the situation that they're in. So the cause of suicide is not the difficulties of life, the horrible difficulties of life. It is hopelessness, which the difficulties of life can drive us, can push us to feelings of hopelessness, believing that there's no solution, no way out. Secular thinkers in the ancient world didn't regard hope as a virtue, but merely as a temporary illusion. That's what was believed in the days the Bible was written. And you know, it's not much different today either. Historians tell us that a great cloud of hopelessness covered the ancient world. Philosophies were empty. Traditions were disappearing. Religions were powerless to help men face either life or death. People longed to pierce the veil and get some message of hope from the other side, but there was none. There was nothing that offered man hope, and it's no different today. There's nothing in the world, no philosophy, no understanding that offers man hope. Chuck Swindoll writes in one of his books on this subject, he says, "Hope is something as important to us as water is to a fish, as vital as electricity is to a light bulb, as essential as air is to a jumbo jet. Hope is basic to life. Without that need or that spark of hope, we're doomed to a dark, grim existence." How often the word hopeless appears in suicide notes. And even if it isn't actually written, we can read it between the lines. Take away our hope, and our world is reduced to something between depression and despair. Hope is more than wishful thinking. Hope is a vital necessity of life, a gift that God wants to give you. And in a world that regularly writes dreams off as foolish and drains the hope from the heart with dark pessimism, biblical hope is a voice crying in the wilderness, a word of enthusiasm for life in the midst of any difficult situation you are in. If you want to smile through those tears, if you want to rejoice through times of suffering, just keep reminding yourself that what you're going through isn't the end of the story. See, people that are feeling hopeless and they just want to end it all, they feel like they've come to the end of the story. But know this, it doesn't matter what it is, it's not the end of the story. It's simply the rough journey that leads to the right destination. The Bible teaches that for the Christian, it's not a bed of roses. It's a rough journey that takes place for all of us. For centuries, anchors have been a symbol of hope. This emblem of an anchor was especially significant to the early persecuted church. Many etchings of anchors were discovered in the catacombs of Rome, where Christians held their meetings in hiding, threatened with death because of their faith. These committed Christians used to use the anchor as a disguised cross and as a marker to guide the way to their secret meetings. Located beneath the ancient city, 600 miles of these tombs, like tomb-like burial chambers, served as a place of refuge during precious times of persecution. Can you imagine a more depressing place to meet in the catacombs. Thus the anchor, found even on some tombstones today, has become the symbol of guaranteed hope for the eternal security of the true Christian. See, there is one thing the hopeless need, and it's hope. Not the illusion of hope that the world offers. See, many people think that you can find happiness and fulfillment in this life. They think things like, if I could just get married, or if I could get that good paying job, then all my troubles would be gone and I would be trouble free. If I could just get what I want, get that house that I've always wanted, or drive that car that I've always wanted, then I'd be happy. Then I would be fulfilled. But remember what Jesus said. Jesus said this, in this world you will have a lot of fun. No, he said, in this world you will have trouble and sorrow. If you're looking to find fulfillment or hope or satisfaction, and you're looking to this life and this world to find it, you will be sorely disappointed. Because this life can't do it. King Solomon, as Paul said, tried to find peace and joy and satisfaction in all the things that this world could offer. And he was one guy that could check it all out and experience it all. And at the end of his life, when it was all said and done, he said, it was all meaningless. It was all empty. It was hopeless. C.S. Lewis, talking about hope, said this, most people, if they really learned to look into their own hearts, would know that what they want is something they cannot have in this world. And when you find out that nothing you seek after will satisfy, will make you happy, one of two things will happen. Number one, well, the first thing you might do is you're going to blame the object. If I could just marry her, I would be happy. Then you find out that she can't provide you happiness, so then you blame her. If I could just get that job, and then you're happy and contented and satisfied and hopeful, and then you find out it's not true, well, then I'll find a new job, a new wife, a new home. Oh, if I just go to that church, I will finally be contented and happy and satisfied and hopeful. And then you find out it doesn't happen. See, one of the things we do when we're not feeling hopeful or fulfilled or satisfied in life is to blame what we were trusting in to give it to us. Maybe, oh, if I could just have children, oh, then I would be fulfilled and happy and joyful. Not so often. It's just the opposite sometimes. Sometimes, isn't that true? That's the first thing. When you find that the world does not offer these things to you, you will then begin to blame the object that you've placed your hope in. You know what the next thing is? And maybe we go through both of them. You will become cynical. You will become angry and bitter. And you will feel hopeless and empty on the inside. Depression and despair is the end result of trying to find happiness and fulfillment in this life. Because the Bible says this life is just full of trouble and sorrow and pain. And then people, when they can't find what they're looking for, and they've blamed everybody and everything, and then they become cynical about life. Often they will turn to drugs and maybe even suicide to get out of their pain. Well, the cause. What's the cause? Bottom line, feelings of hopelessness produced and caused by the world we live in that can't make us happy. Except maybe now and then, but how long does that last? So what is the solution to this problem? What if one day someone called you on the phone and you picked it up and you knew the person, it could have been a relative or a close friend, and they said, I have a gun in my hand and I'm about ready to kill myself. What would you say to them? How would you try to help them? Say, well, let me go call Sandy Brandenburg and see if I can set up an appointment for you. Or maybe I better call 911 and get the police there. Well, it's very possible that if they're serious about this, that it's all going to happen before any of that happened. I really doubt that the police could get there in time, and there's no way that they'll even call a counselor if they're really serious about it, if they're really struggling. What do we do? What do we say? Is there anything we can say? Is there any way we can help? What is the answer? The answer is found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Basically, it's one little phrase in this passage. So I'm going to read it to you. It's on the screen there for you. It says this in Colossians 1, 1 through 6. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. He says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all of God's people. Next verse. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. It is that little phrase in verse 5, the hope stored up for you in heaven. That is the key phrase to the solution when it comes to trying to help ourselves or help someone else. People don't need a change of circumstances, even though it might help for a while, for a moment, because that's only a temporary fix. There will always be more trouble and pain and loss to face in life. What the hopeless need is not a change in circumstances, but they need hope. They need a hope that cannot be touched by the world, can't be touched by circumstances, and they need a hope that will last. That's what we all need to survive life, to get through life, to get through the difficulties and the sorrows and the pain. The Brandenburgs, who are not with us today because of Don, have had to deal with two suicides. One, their own son, and then one of their grandchildren just not too long ago. What got them through? How did they cope? Well, we see the answer to how they coped in Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. Where it says, the hope stored up for heaven for you. There is a hope that cannot be touched by circumstances. There is a hope that lasts. This hope to find it. You have to go far above all the loss and the pain of this world. Far, far above. And this hope takes us all the way to heaven. Because there is a hope. I love this. Stored up for you and for me in heaven. It's there. Stored for us when we need it. See, when you look there in heaven, what do you see when you look there? You know what you see when you look to heaven? A couple of things. Number one, you see Christ sitting on the throne at the Father's right hand. For the Christian, it's not all about this life, it's all about the next life. And in the next life, in the heavenlies, Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning, interceding for us. We go there and let Him help us. Jesus said this in Matthew 6, 19 and 20. He said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's pointing us up, up and away, far away. Past the horizon, past all the troubles and the pain and the sorrow and the loss that's part of life down here. And he's saying, set your heart, your affections, and your mind there. Where is your heart this morning? Is it on what is seen? Because what is seen will fail you. It will eventually disappoint you. But if you place your heart on what is unseen, you will never be disappointed because it will never fail you. He who's sitting on the throne at the right hand of the Father will never fail you. He's there interceding on your behalf. So where is your heart? Someone said this, the believer's blessed hope is the totality of blessing that awaits the Christ follower in the life to come. That's where we're to set our affection, our hearts, our minds, is on what's to come. It's there. Hope is reserved or stored there for you. Well, you got to go there to get it. And there is Him, is Christ. He's the one we go to for what we need. Colossians 3:1 says it this way, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the Father's right hand, and set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. See, there's only one way to help the hopeless. It's by getting them to look up, up, and beyond the horizon into eternity. Beyond all the trouble and sorrow and pain of this life, to the next one, to the next life, to what is in store for you and me. So choose by faith to set your heart and your mind there. And that there is revealed in His Word. And so as we go into His Word and we find out what eternity is like and find out that the one who loves us more than anything, our Savior and our Lord, is sitting on the throne of the universe, He's the one who helps. That's where we point people off of this world, off of this life that's temporary, that can change in a moment, to the next one. Then he goes on and says two things. He says, from that hope, that stored up hope in heaven, that place, will spring two things. Number one, faith in Christ. That's the first thing. When we look there to heaven and see Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of the universe at the right hand of the Father, when we see Him there, we see Him as our King. He's our King. And the day is coming when He will rule and reign over everything. It's important to know that the kingdom of God has two phases. Phase number one involves the church. That's us right now. It's the church. This is the time when God wants to rule and reign in your heart and life and in mine. That's where He wants to rule. That's where His kingdom is today. He wants to be your King through faith in Christ. A loving, all-powerful King. That's the first phase. That's where we're at. Phase number two involves the world. This is a future time when God sets up His kingdom on earth. And in that kingdom, He will rule and reign for 1,000 years. And His place of ruling is Jerusalem. That's the center. That's the capital. He will, from that place, rule and reign on this earth. But that hasn't happened yet. But the Bible promises that it will. It says this in Revelation 11:15. It's the seventh trumpet that is sounding during the seven-year tribulation period. Notice what it says. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, verse 15. And there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Messiah. And He will reign forever and ever. And never forget this. When that day comes, where all the kingdoms of the world are brought under His authority and His rule, we as His bride are going to stand at His side. What hope! What unbelievable teaching that is for you and me to look forward to as we look far beyond the horizon into the heavenly places for what God has for you and me. So as we look away from all the difficulties of this world and look into the future and see Christ ruling as King, we are given hope in this hopeless world. That's where we take them up and try to help them. There's one more thing that we see here, and if that's all there was, that would be enough. There's one more thing. It says this. There's a second thing that springs from this hope, this stored up hope in heaven as we go up there and we kind of stay up there for a while and think about all those. He says, number two, is love for all the saints. Is love for all the saints, for all the Christians. When we look to heaven, not only do we see Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, we see something else while we're there. And that something else is given to us in John chapter 14, 2 through 3, which takes us far beyond this world, far beyond the pain of it, to the next world where Jesus says this, my Father's house has many rooms. If that weren't so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. That is that stored up hope in the heavenlies. So not only do we see our Savior, our Lord, our King, sitting at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning, but we also see a place prepared for us. So, heaven for the believer is a place, one place, and it's called the Father's house. And we are all going to be there, including all those who have gone before us. All those that have gone before us are in the Father's house. There's one place, one address, and we're all going to follow one day, and we're going to all live together in the Father's house. I always thought maybe you would have this mansion over here and then I'd get this outhouse over here and to live in. And, you know, like who's going to get the bigger place? The problem with that is the Bible says that we're all going to live in the Father's house because we're family and He's our Father. And so we're going to be there with Him. And we're going to be there together. So that means get used to it. You're not going to get rid of me. I might even be your bunkmate. So if I drive you crazy now, just wait. We'll never, ever, ever be homeless. We'll never, ever, ever be lonely. We'll never, ever have to experience separation from those that we love ever. Because all those who know Jesus Christ as Savior are going to live in the Father's house together. That's an amazing, confident expectation. It's all a part of our hope, right? Because in the Bible, it's not like I hope it don't rain today, right? It's a confidence that he's talking about. So if you're feeling discouraged and depressed and maybe even on the verge of hopelessness, which could cause you to think, I just want to end everything, what we need to do, what you need to do, is take your eyes off yourself and off the circumstances of life and fix them on Christ first, and then others second. Because as soon as we place them on ourselves and on our circumstances and what's going on in our life and how we feel, then pretty soon we're on that downward emotional cycle that can very well end in hopelessness. To be filled with peace and joy and hope means we have to focus and set our affection and our minds on heaven that's there for us, not on earth, because this is so transitory, so sometimes painful, sometimes hard. Let's learn to look up, because you know why? Our redemption draweth nigh. It's close. Father, I just pray, Lord, that whenever we may feel down or discouraged, in despair, or maybe even struggling with hopelessness, I pray, Father, that we would be reminded to always look up. Take our eyes off the circumstances and the struggles of this life and look to the next, to what we have in store that we will have forever and ever. And I know that that's the place of being uplifted and encouraged and blessed, because it's happened in my life. And so I just pray that you might take this message and use it for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to close with a song that I thought about. It's called The Solid Rock.